On yesterday's podcast, we released the consensus top 10 most important players to the future of the Buffalo Bills. Today, we go deeper and highlight some of the major discrepancies among the panel in this episode of Locked On Bills.
You are Locked On Bills, your daily Buffalo Bills podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up, Bills Mafia? It's Joe Marino from the Draft Network, and I'm your host of Locked On Bills. Happy Tuesday to you, and thank you for making Locked On Bills your first listen every day, or if you're joining us on the YouTube channel, your first watch every day. And welcome to part two of our series on ranking the most important players to the future of the Buffalo Bills. As a reminder on what we did, in case you missed yesterday's podcast or are listening out of order, I asked a panel of 10 other Buffalo Bills content creators to provide me with their list of the 10 most important players to the future of the Buffalo Bills. And in doing so, I asked them to look at this through the lens of, if this player reaches their ceiling and or maintains their current level of play for a number of continued years, how will that impact the success of the football team? Also, in doing so, I asked them to consider how important the role is that the player fills with the team, and if they can't be the answer for the Buffalo Bills, how difficult will it be for them to find that answer? And so I averaged together 11 sets of rankings, 10 members of the group, plus my own, to develop the consensus list of the top 10 most important players to the future of the Buffalo Bills. Yesterday on the podcast, we unveiled the consensus top 10 players. Today, I am going to give you the full list that spans 18 different players, and I'm going to invite the panel back for a follow-up question regarding either something unique about their individual rankings that they submitted, or just a general question about the project. Here's a reminder as to who is on the panel, and in alphabetical order by first name, we have Anthony Marino, host of the Breaking Buffalo Rumblings podcast, Anthony Prohaska, host of the Cover One Film Room and Disguise Coverage on Cover One, Bruce Nolan, host of the Bruce Exclusive Podcast and Food for Thought on Buffalo Rumblings, Greg Thompson, host of the Cover One Buffalo Podcast, Joe Miller, host of the Overreaction Sports Podcast on Buffalo Rumblings, Nate Geary of WGR 550 and the Food for Thought Podcast on Buffalo Rumblings, Pat Moran, host of the Talking Buffalo Podcast, Ryan Talbot, writer for Syracuse.com and co-host of the Shout Buffalo Football Podcast, Sterling Furrow, host of the Intentional Grounding podcast on Buffalo Rumblings, and Zbot, YouTube host and content creator for Buffalo Fanatics, and of course, myself. And so with that out of the way, here is the full list. This includes every player that was ranked by a member of the panel in order of the average rank. And so you know the top 10. I'll give you them very quickly. At number one, Josh Allen. Number two, Stephon Diggs. Number three, Tre'Davious White. Number four, Von Miller. Number five, Deion Dawkins. Number six, Ed Oliver. Number seven, Gabriel Davis. Number eight, Tremaine Edmonds. Number nine, Dawson Knox. And number 10, Gregory Rousseau. Now I'm going to give you 11 through 18. And these are players that we didn't talk about yesterday, but they received votes. At least one member of the panel thought that these players were deserving of being in the consensus top 10. And again, I went through and averaged everything out. So the guys with the best scores are the top 10 in order of average rank. Now, if a player was ranked in a ballot, but not in other ballots, they got an 11 averaged in. So if one person had Mitch Morse as the number six player, and that was it, that means for the other 10 people, it got an 11 averaged in. And so there, that's how you got to the averages. And so, you know, some of these players more than one person may have had them, but the average score wasn't high enough for them to be in the consensus top 10. But we do have them ranked because we had 18 different players receive a vote. So at number 11, linebacker Matt Milano. At number 12, safety Micah Hyde. At number 13, offensive tackle Spencer Brown. At number 14, Kyer Elam, cornerback, first round pick. Number 15, James Cook, running back. Number 16, kicker Tyler Bass. Number 17, center Mitch Morse. And number 18, Jordan Poyer, the safety. No other player received any votes. And if any of that surprised you, the follow-up questions for the panel members responsible are coming up next. This episode is brought to you by Rock Auto. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now impossible for your local chain auto parts store to stock all the parts you need. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questions like, is your Odyssey an LX or an EX, and wait while the person behind the counter orders the parts on their computer, choosing the only brand their warehouse happens to carry? You have computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. Save time and save money when using Rock Auto. Why would you choose to spend 30%, 50%, even 100% more for the same parts from a chain store or a car dealership? They have everything you can need. Brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Make sure you write Locked On in there. How did you hear about us, box, so to know that we sent you? They have amazing selection, reliably low prices, and all the parts your car will ever need over at rockauto.com. No business owner wants to deal with the hassle of energy decisions. You just want your business to run smoothly and to pay a fair rate for power. But coming off the back of one of the highest priced winners in the last decade, if your business was on a purely variable or market rate, you paid out the nose. Many New York business owners switched suppliers out of frustration, but unless they chose alternative pricing options, they're still at risk for a January repeat. Catalyst Power partners with you or your trusted energy consultant to produce a power supply plan that fits your business and your market risk tolerance. They have a suite of options customizable to your business's needs, including options that bundle with or focus on renewable energy. Right now in New York, they're offering an on-site solar solution for your business that requires zero installation, maintenance, or material purchase costs. That's right, no CapEx costs for you. And to sweeten the deal, qualified businesses could be eligible for up to 6 months of at-cost energy supply from Catalyst Power. Go to catalystpower.com/lockedonbills to learn more. The first member of the panel that I want to invite to ask a question to is Anthony Marino. And the reason that I'm asking Anthony Marino the first question is because he agrees with me on something that I was surprised more people on the panel didn't agree with. And that's regarding Kyer Elam. Five ballots didn't include Kyer Elam at all. Four of the six did include him, but they slotted him at number 10, so his average wasn't high enough to be among the consensus top 10. Now, Anthony was the clear highest of any panelist, with him coming in at number 5. So my question for Anthony is, why should Kyer Elam have been included in the consensus top 10, and why do you think he didn't receive more support from the group?
Hey, everybody. Anthony Marino from Buffalo Rumblings talking about Kyer Elam. And really, as I take a look at this, I am surprised that I had him highest on the list, that there were others in this consensus that didn't even have him in the top 10. I guess when I try to rationalize how others did not include him, right, that's probably just a good problem for fans of the Buffalo Bills and the franchise to have when you think about just how stacked this roster really is. You could think to years past, I don't know, if we were doing this type of list, it would probably be a bit of a struggle to get to that list of 10. And now you talk about, you know, half the group not even having the Buffalo Bills first round draft pick making the list. So to me, that might be a little bit mind boggling, but maybe just one of those good problems that you have when you have, the Super Bowl favorites heading into the season. Now, as I take a look at this and why he is just so important and why I had him high up on my list, you know, this is the guy that we have been clamoring for. right? That cornerback too, the team making an investment, not getting a Josh Norman or a Kevin Johnson, and no disrespect to those guys, but right, let's make an investment in a young player that you can have opposite of Tre'Davious White and really look at things and say, okay, this is the most glaring weakness that the Buffalo Bills have on the entire roster. Address that with a first round pick. You've got that cost control for 5 years. Kaiir Elam comes in. If he can be a formidable CB2, the Buffalo Bills defense gets that much better. That was the most glaring hole that was there. Sure, heading into the offseason, you could say, well, we're not getting enough that you need from defensive end. Well, you go out and you sign Von Miller. So you take care of that. Cornerback two was really that piece that needed to be taken care of. A 4.39 40-yard dash. He brings good size to the position. And honestly, we've all seen the clip where he was talking about his notebook, how he studies each game, how he studies each opponent. That is a type of guy when you talk about trusting the process and just that mentality that the Buffalo Bills look for. I'm incredibly excited. So listen, the others in the group that left him off, they've got things wrong. I hope we look back at this at the end of the season and I can pull out the receipts and show that I was a believer in Kaiir Elam, and this is a guy that's going to make a great impact for the Bills, not just in 2022, but in the years beyond.
The next member of the panel that I want to put on the hot seat is Sterling Furrow. And me and Sterling Furrow both had right tackle Spencer Brown ranked number 6 on our ballots, but he didn't make the cut for the consensus top 10. Now, I agree that Spencer Brown had a place in this top 10, but the group didn't. Sterling agrees with me, and so Sterling, my question for you is, why should Spencer Brown have been included in the consensus top 10 rankings for the most important players to the future of the Buffalo Bills?
My name is Sterling Furrow, and I'm the host of Intentional Grounding Podcast on the Buffalo Rumblings Network. And what I'm here to talk to you about is Spencer Brown. This is a guy that was number 6 on my board and Joe Marino's board, but he was not in the consensus top 10. And I'm here to tell you why Spencer Brown belongs on that list. Spencer Brown is a second-year offensive tackle, but coming in, I mean, this is a guy that is probably one of the most athletic tackles in the NFL. His upside to me is through the roof. I believe, I'm a firm believer in guys that kind of help set the tone from an aggressive standpoint. And Spencer Brown is mean, and he does that very well. I mean, you could tell, the guy had 8 penalties last year. He definitely needs to, in terms of the way he plays, I feel like, he struggles when he's power rushed, with bendy edge rushers. I think he's only going to get better there. There's just so much upside. I mean, this is a guy that's only played a couple years of tackle football, right? He played 8-man football in high school. He goes to the University of Northern Iowa. He plays 1 year, and then he's out for the COVID year, and he gets thrown into the fire, essentially, because he was one of the top 5 linemen that the Bills could field last year amidst all the, musical chairs and so forth. Spencer Brown, it seems that his development and the way he carries himself and the way he approaches the game is exactly what Josh Allen needs. It's exactly what the Bills need in the run game. And I think he's only going to get better. Spencer Brown has the potential to be one of the top 5, top 10 offensive tackles at right tackle in the league. And so that's high praise coming for a guy that's coming into his second year. And he's only going to get better. Think he's going to have Roger Saffold to glean from. He's got Mitch Morse at center. Deion Dawkins is going to show him the way. So, and now we have Aaron Kromer in the fold. That's only going to make him better. So I expect to see a big jump for Spencer Brown this coming season. Thank you again. I am the host of Intentional Grounders. You can find me on Monday nights on the Buffalo Rumblings Podcast Network at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Thank you.
The next member of the panel that I want to talk to is Ryan Talbot. And we have a group DM with all the members of the panel, and we talk about different things regarding the project. And as soon as I shared the final results with the entire group, Ryan's immediate response was, "The Tyler Bass snub is real." And so Ryan had him the highest of anybody that included Tyler Bass, ranking him at number 7. And in fact, he was only on one other ballot. And so my question for Ryan is, what do you make of this? And why do you believe Tyler Bass should have been included among the consensus top 10 players to the future of the Buffalo Bills?
Bills Mafia, what is up? This is Ryan Talbot, co-host of the Shout Buffalo Football Podcast, and I am here to tell you today why I believe Tyler Bass was absolutely snubbed in this year's consensus ratings. For the second straight year, I voted Tyler Bass into my top 10. Now, mind you, last year, going into his second season, I could understand some pause, some hesitation. But, you know, he was only coming off of a season where he set a single season franchise record for points as a rookie. What does he do last year? He only gets better. He doesn't match the point total, but he goes 28 of 32 on field goals and a perfect 51 of 51 on extra points. And listen, you know, I know the audience here, you are Bills fans through and through. But if you watch any other football games on Sundays, Thursdays, Mondays, you see there are a lot of teams in this league that do not have a solid kicker, a solid kickoff option. We know how Sean McDermott and the Buffalo Bills, they stress the importance of special teams. And Tyler Bass was such a big part of that vision. And you know, I know some fans will go back to the 13 seconds. What happened on that kickoff? I'm fairly confident that was not a Tyler Bass mistake or a decision. I think there was some miscommunication there. But Bass himself, as a on kickoffs, he can kick through the end zone whenever you need him to. Maybe you still have some reservations about him as a squib kicker, but you know that he's going to be able to deliver just about anything you need him to do on kickoffs. But when it really matters most, when you need that kicker who can drill a crucial kick, Tyler Bass has shown that he has ice water in his veins through two seasons, and there's really no reason to believe that's going to change. With this Super Bowl roster that they have built here in Buffalo, Bass's importance, you know, is through the roof. We saw last year with the Bengals, McPherson make some really crucial kicks in the playoffs to send them to some pretty big games. Don't be surprised if Tyler Bass is in that same spot this year in the playoffs, when obviously you're playing teams that are neck and neck with you talent-wise. When all is said and done this year, I think Tyler Bass is going to play a huge role in the outcome of their season, whether that's hoisting the Lombardi Trophy at the end of the year, whatever the case may be. And, you know, for that very reason, I think he's a consensus top 10 player in 2022, but long-term as well. You have a young franchise kicker in Buffalo.
I want to chat with my buddy Joe Miller next. In 9 of the 11 ballots submitted, didn't include James Cook, the Bills' second-round pick, the running back out of Georgia. One had him at number 9, but Joe Miller had him number 3. And so I got to ask you, Joe, what do you make of the discrepancy on Cook, and why was Cook so high on your ballot?
What is up, Bills Mafia? My name is Joe Miller. I'm the host of the Overreaction Postgame Show, and I'm here to tell you why James Cook is the number 3 player in my consensus top 10 players to the future of the Buffalo Bills. And I understand that 9 of the 11 ballots didn't even include James Cook. And with that, one of the two had him at number 9. I had him at number 3. The reason to me is simple. I just don't think people see the value in a true RB1 on this team when you take into account all that Josh Allen brings to the table. He's elite. He is a specimen. But for me, the most important thing is to protect that specimen. We all saw how Jim Kelly's career was cut short because of the hits he took in the USFL and early in his NFL career. Consider Cam Newton as well. That man is broken because of the hits he took. For me, the way to extend Josh Allen's career into that 15 to 17 year range is to get him a solid, competent ground game that is a true threat, a ground game that, or I should say, defenses have to game plan for. But here's the thing. The word on James Cook is that he is not big enough to be a premier back. But I would submit that he is an inch taller than his brother Dalvin with the Minnesota Vikings, and he only weighs right now 9 pounds less than him. Sure, right now he may not have the thighs that will cross your eyes or a prototypical RB1 body type, but talent is talent. And oh, by the way, him putting on 10 or 15 pounds is not outside the realm of possibility, even relatively quickly. He can do it. He's got the talent. He's got the ability. He's got also got the ability to catch on the backfield. To me, this is the guy that if you work him into the offense properly, can prolong the career of Josh Allen. You keep Allen upright. You give him a weapon on the ground that the defenses, as I said, have to game plan for. And let's see Josh Allen suit up for another 11 to 13 years as the franchise quarterback for the Buffalo Bills. My name is Joe Miller. I'm the voice, as I said, of the Overreaction postgame show on the Buffalo Rumblings Vodcast Network, brought to you by the Market Dominator. And you can find me, as always, on Twitter at Joe Miller Wired.
Our partners at BetOnline continue to be the number one source for all your betting needs and sports info. Find all the latest odds, news, and sports developments, including this year's basketball playoffs, Major League Baseball scores, fights, and even next season's NFL futures. BetOnline is your continued source for all of your sports wagering information, from live betting to playoffs, esports, and more. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends and the action. It's BetOnline, and it's where the game starts. Next on the hot seat is Pat Moran, and I was really surprised to see Mitch Morse as the number six player on Pat's ballot, when nobody else, none of the other 10 people in this project, ranked him in their top 10. So, Pat, why should Morse have made the consensus top 10?
Hey, Pat Moran here, host of Talk of Buffalo podcast. Now, I chose Buffalo Bills center Mitch Morse among the list of our top 10 players critical to the future of the Buffalo Bills. As it turns out, I'm literally the only one on this 10-person panel that chose Mitch Morse. What's my reasoning, and why do I think Mitch Morse should have been a consensus top 10 pick? Well, for starters, I'm the smartest guy in the room, obviously. But in all seriousness, for all the Buffalo Bills' wonderful talents on offense, and they got a lot of them, Josh Allen, Stephon Diggs, Dawson Knox, Gabriel Davis, nothing can bring down an offense faster than an injured, depleted offensive line, or an offensive line that's playing poorly behind Josh Allen. We saw that happen a couple times last year, most notably in Jacksonville, and we all saw that ugly result. Now, on the defensive side of the ball, we talk about a guy like Ed Oliver and the defensive tackle position and how important they are to a football team. Well, it's equally important to have a center that's going to be largely responsible for at least containing those type of guys. Look, Mitch Morse wasn't fully healthy in 2020, and it showed. He didn't look great at times. In fact, he like kind of sort of got benched for a game, and he just didn't look like that guy that the Bills paid big, big money to in free agency a couple years ago. I think that was evident a lot of the season, and especially in the AFC Championship game against Kansas City, where Chris Jones just absolutely murdered Mitch Morse and John Feliciano. It was ugly. But last year, a different story. I thought Mitch Morse was a stud. I think Mitch Morse, far and away, was one of the most consistently good players on the entire Buffalo Bills football team. In fact, you know, of course, we can't say Josh Allen or even Stephon Diggs, but I think the play of Mitch Morse last year steadily was on par with a guy like Dawson Knox at tight end or a Jordan Poyer at safety. I just thought he was really good. And here's the deal, man. Mitch Morse is 30 years old. He's got plenty of tread left in those tires. He redid his deal this offseason, so he could be here potentially at least for another 2 years beyond 2022. And while Deion Dawkins gets the Pro Bowl nods, and I know left tackle is the sexy position, I think steady play at center behind Josh Allen is crucial. It's crucial to Josh Allen, his comfort level. And I think Mitch Morse last year was, and I think going into the future will be very, very much up to the task. Again, I'm Patrick Moran. You can find me on Twitter at Pat Moran Tweets. Be sure to check out Talk of Buffalo Podcast. New episodes every Tuesday and every Friday, as well as some random bonus episodes scattered throughout the month. Thank you very much, guys.
Next up, I want to invite Greg Thompson to the hot seat. And Greg, Micah Hyde was the number seven player on your ballot, the highest of any panelist that included him. in their top 10. Jordan Poyer, he wasn't on your ballot at all and only made his way onto one ballot. Now, these safeties have been so important to this football team, and they're coming off their best season together. So my question for Greg is, what do you make of their collective omission from the consensus top 10 and the lack of support overall from the group?
Hey guys, I'm Greg Thompson, host of the Cover One Buffalo podcast. I'm here to tell you why Micah Hyde made my top 10 players of the future of the Buffalo Bills list, but wasn't in the consensus. And I think that there's a lot of concern out there over the future of the safety group with the Buffalo Bills. Obviously, we know Jordan Poyer, who I'm a huge fan of, fired his agent, hired Drew Rosenhaus, and now is looking for a new contract. Micah Hyde, you know, also played fantastic last year, probably played an equal level. I know Jordan Poyer officially got the first team All-Pro position, but they both got about the same amount of votes. Micah Hyde has 2 years left on his contract, is in a position to be here. I would have voted for both if I felt more confident that Jordan Poyer was going to be here in the future of this team. I would love for them to extend him and have him here, but I felt like Micah Hyde was still part of that succession plan where he's here this year and next year, and then if you bring in a rookie or a new guy, maybe it's easier to extend Hyde at that point 1 year later into his career, not coming off of an All-Pro season, and I think that he's able to still give them the option to disguise coverages and to be able to, you know, trick and work with whoever the new guy is, or hopefully Jordan Poyer, and be able to continue to give them that flexibility. We know the things that it unlocked by getting another talented corner in Kaiir Elam and not having to always shade to one side and protect the other cornerback all the time. I really look forward to what Micah Hyde's going to be able to do this year in tricking the quarterbacks we go against and the crazy exotic coverage schemes they're going to be able to put out there to trick them. So I think that it was really a part of wanting to sustain this safety group, a flexibility that it gives John Butler and Leslie Frazier and Sean McDermott and everything that they do defensively, and wanting to cling to what we've had here for 5 years. And for me, that was Micah Hyde. So I'd love to see both of them going forward, but I think Micah Hyde's still a big piece here, whether it's through him directly, whether it's through him training the next partner that he has, or hopefully at least one of these guys getting one more extension to stick around for a little bit longer. And I'm going to put my vote on Micah Hyde. So again, I'm Greg Thompson. You can follow me at Greg Thompson and find the Cover One Network on our Cover One YouTube channel, and I am out.
Next up is Anthony Prochazka, and Matt Milano was number 5 on Anthony's ballot, but 8 of the 11 panelists didn't include Milano at all. So Anthony, why should Milano have made the consensus top 10?
I'm Anthony Prochazka of Cover One. Find me on Twitter at @pro_ANT. I am the host of Disguise Coverage live every Wednesday at 7 p.m. Eastern on the Cover One Network, and one of the hosts of the Cover One Film Room live every Tuesday at 7 p.m. And I'm here to tell you why Matt Milano should have made the consensus top 10. And it starts with his coverage ability. In today's NFL, the pass-happy, quarterback-driven NFL that it is, everyone on your defense in the second level and third level needs to be able to cover, and Matt Milano has that coverage ability. This past year in 2021, he had the lowest completion percentage allowed in coverage amongst all linebackers per PFF. Since coming into the NFL in 2017, per Next Gen Stats, Milano has allowed the lowest yards per target as the nearest defender amongst defenders with a minimum of 150 targets, and that's amongst all defenders, not just linebackers. Also, per Next Gen Stats, he leads the NFL in that time in coverage success rate and catch rate allowed over expected. Milano covers really well, and he does it from a variety of alignments, off-ball situations, showing blitz and having to drop out, man coverage, zone coverage, pattern matching. I know people are going to point out, though, well, he got beat by Travis Kelce those couple times. Who doesn't get beat by Travis Kelce? Show me somebody who locks up Travis Kelce and completely shuts him down, and don't tell me the Tampa Bay Buccaneers defense because of that one time in the Super Bowl, because their pass rush was absolutely destroying the offensive line of the Chiefs because they were playing with second, third, and fourth stringers. Matt Milano's tape speaks to his ability and coverage, as do the advanced metrics. He's also a force in the run, which is really saying something considering the responsibility that's placed on the Bills linebackers in this system. Again, you've got to be able to cover, and you've also got to be able to fit the run. And that's, again, a hard thing to do when you are a primarily nickel defense like the Bills defense is. They were nickel 69% of the time in 2021. They gave light boxes 51% of the time, seven-man boxes 30% of the time. And because the Bills are primarily a nickel defense, when they are showing a seven-man box, that usually means that seventh man is going to be Taron Johnson, Micah Hyde, or Jordan Poyer, which means it's even more important for the linebackers to fit the run and make plays. And Matt Milano does that in addition to his coverage ability. He is a constant disruptor and playmaker for this defense. He is a catalyst for success for the other players in this defense. He makes plays whether directly or indirectly. And again, because this linebacker group, a lot is asked for them in a Sean McDermott Buffalo Bills defense, his role is tremendously important, but even more so considering the future of Tremaine Edmonds is unknown. A juxtaposing figure amongst Bills Mafia, but Tremaine Edmonds' size and speed and length and frame and pattern matchability function very well as a deterrent for this Bills defense and allows others to play off of his ability. And with the future of Edmonds in question, Milano's value only increases because of the importance of that position grouping and how well he plays it. And that's why he should have been in the consensus top 10.
Next up is Zbot. And 9 of the 10 players in your ballot, Zbot, made the consensus top 10. And the player that you had that didn't make the list was Spencer Brown at number 10. And reflecting on the results of this project as the only new member of the panel this year compared to last year, would like to know, what surprised you the most?
Man, I got to tell you, I had a blast making this list because it allowed me to do one of my favorite things, and that is talk about how great the Bills are. I have been waiting my whole life for a roster like the Bills currently have. And I think as I was making this list, it allowed you to truly realize as you rank each player and figure out who you think is the most important moving forward, it really sunk in how many unbelievable players the Bills currently have and how not too long ago, making a list like this would have been incredibly challenging. And I think for me, the most difficult part of this entire project was how difficult it was to come up with only 10 guys that I think are the most important for the Bills moving forward. I had to leave several players off this list that would be easily on any other team's list. I mean, I'm talking Jordan Poyer, Micah Hyde, Matt Milano. Those are just three guys right there that I wasn't able to fit on my list. And it's not because they're not tremendous players. It's not because they're not staples of this Bills team. It's just because when you look at the roster in its totality, you go through, you think of the players that are currently and moving forward the most essential, and all of a sudden your list is made almost immediately and you realize, man, I left off several incredible players that are on this Bills roster. So I think growing up with the Bills teams that I did and where we are today, the surprising part of this project in general is just to be able to sit down and realize how far this organization has come over the last couple of seasons. We were joking around in the group chat amongst all of us who made this consensus list. And I guess you could say it was joking around, but in reality, it really wasn't. We were talking about making a list like this a decade ago and how almost everybody's list would have Brian Moorman and Ryan Lindell on it. Because when you looked at the rosters a decade or so ago, you would not have been able to find 10 players on the roster that you would want to keep around long enough to be essential parts of the Bills' future. I mean, currently, the way I look at the Bills roster, I do think that Tyler Bass is one of the most essential players on this team. I think he's one of the best kickers in the league. How are you going to fit him on a list of 10 players based on what the Bills currently have on this roster? And I know other guys within the consensus here did have Tyler Bass on there, and it makes sense. It just goes to show you how many great players are on this team and how difficult it is to figure out which ones you would put in a top 10. You could say, Zbot, is it really surprising? I would say I don't think it'll ever not be surprising to me. I went 20 plus years as a Bills fan without having a team that would be worthy of putting together a top 10 list of guys that you would want to keep around. Now, I sit down and make a list like this, and it's incredibly difficult to narrow down just 10 players. The surprise element of that, the surprise element of what the Bills have become based on what I was used to. It'll never not be a whoa moment for me. And I think that ultimately is what makes this current era of the Buffalo Bills so special, so exciting, so promising, so awesome. It's an unbelievable time to be a Bills fan. And when we're talking about the future here, the whole premise of this project, I got goosebumps right now just talking about it. It's awesome.
Next up is the analytical Bruce Nolan. And Bruce, when you compare the results of this project in 2021 to 2022, what are your biggest takeaways? What can you gather about how the perception of the team and players has changed over the last year when considering the results of this project?
Hi, it's Bruce Nolan from the Bruce Exclusive, a Buffalo Rumblings podcast. The thing that I noticed about this year's rankings versus last year's is really two main things. The first is how important Buffalo Bills content creators think pass rush is. Last year, Gregory Rousseau, a rookie, showed up on this list in a meaningful place. This year, he dropped all the way to 10th place and was replaced with Von Miller, who last year, of course, was not ranked. Gregory Rousseau fell from 6 to 10, but Von Miller shows up at 4. The idea that there's a singular pass rusher that they think can make a significant impact on this team for the next 3 years, even though that player is already in his 30s, that speaks to how important that content creators in this project believed that pass rush was and how important they think that pass rush is to getting over the hump. Because it's about projecting the next 3 years. What's going to take this Buffalo Bills team to the next level or help it maintain the level it's at? And when you have a new player who's a pass rusher who immediately jumps into the number 4 spot on this list the way that Von Miller did, it really speaks to the idea that pass rush may have been the thing that was holding the Buffalo Bills back. The second thing that I noticed overall was that it doesn't seem that the content creators involved in this particular exercise were hedging significantly against the potential losses of Tremaine Edmonds or Jordan Poyer. Both of the players that you would think would have shown up higher on the list if they were worried about that, Matt Milano and Micah Hyde, both did not make the top 10 after both being in the top 10 this past year. Which means that there's a chance that content creators feel strongly overall about Brandon Bean's ability to retain Edmonds and retain Jordan Poyer because Micah Hyde didn't show up on the list. Matt Milano didn't show up on the list. And if you don't feel good that Tremaine Edmonds and Jordan Poyer will both be on this Buffalo Bills team in 2023, then logic would extend that you would feel more strongly that Matt Milano and Micah Hyde would have to carry a more significant burden, and as such, those added responsibilities would bring them up the list. However, not the case. So there may be some optimism around the people who were involved in this project as it relates to re-signing Tremaine Edmonds and Jordan Poyer.
My last question is for Nate Geary. And Nate, when reflecting on the overall consensus rankings and how things stacked up, what stood out to you the most? Overall, what was your biggest takeaway from the list?
Hey, y'all. Nate Geary here from WGR Sports Radio 550 and the Buffalo Bills Radio Network. I'm here to talk more about the consensus top 10 players to the future of the Buffalo Bills. I always enjoy doing these sorts of group exercises because you get a peek into what fans and content creators alike value most in the players for a given team or organization. Some value offensive players over defensive players. But the funny thing about this particular list and last year's list, the universal truth that everybody seems to agree on, Josh Allen is the single most consequential player and piece to the future success of the Buffalo Bills. Big shocker, I'm sure all of you were expecting someone else, Tyler Bass perhaps, but it is, in fact, Josh Allen. The thing that this exercise really put into perspective for me, though, is how many blue chip, or in layman's terms, how many bona fide elite players the Bills currently employ on their roster. Josh Allen, Trey White, Von Miller, Stephon Diggs, all pretty widely viewed as top 5 players at their respective positions. Then you factor budding stars like Ed Oliver, Gabriel Davis, Dawson Knox, and you have a top tier part of your organization where the top players are either ascending to elite status or have already found their way there. And I think this exercise this year, in comparing it to what we were putting together last year, you really start to see the development and developing the internal talent that Brandon Bean has done such a good job over the last couple of years of drafting. But it's not just to draft a good player, but to develop them and put them in positions to succeed. And maybe no better example of that than Ed Oliver last year in his third season. He gets the fifth-year option, confirmed for this year. He enters year four in a really important year for him, and he's finally got that one technique next to him to potentially see the ceiling that a lot of people had hoped Ed Oliver would see. And you consider to see that Brandon Bean has also turned this particular town, this organization, into a destination, not just for free agents, but for the NFL's best players, right? All Diggs was traded for. But he signed a four-year, $100 million extension last month, making him one of the highest-paid wide receivers in the league. Shortly before that, the Bills signed future Hall of Famer Von Miller to a reported six-year, $120 million deal, luring him away from Los Angeles to go to Buffalo to play football, not next to Aaron Donald. So that gives you an idea in the perspective of not only has Brandon Bean been able to cultivate a great organization where they draft well, they develop well, and they pay those players that they spend all of that time developing. But they're also layering in some of the game's highest profile players at incredibly high numbers and the amount of money that they're making. So this will likely be, from top to bottom, one of the most talented rosters of my lifetime. And I think this exercise really brought that to the forefront for me. How many elite level players, how many players at each position? And it's not just about the players at the top of the depth chart. It's the bottom of the depth chart, from the top to the bottom. And you start to consider the potential for guys like Gregory Rousseau, who was picked in the first round last year, Kyer Elam this year, Boogie Basham in the second round last year, Spencer Brown in the third round last year. This could end up being one of the most talented Bills rosters of all time.
All right, folks, thanks so much for joining me on this journey. Thanks so much to the panel for taking the time to submit your ballot and, of course, put together some of the analysis to make this project a really fun one and one that I found to be very enlightening. And so coming out of this, what I want to do is reflect on everything that just happened over the last 2 days and what we've learned about how we perceive this team and who the most important pieces of this team are. And so we're going to push herd mentality to later in this week. And I'd love for the questions to really be centered around how you feel about this list and where you think it went wrong or what questions you have or where you think things went right. What are you curious about in the aftermath of this project? What questions do you have for me? Send them my way. And we'll get to them on Herd Mentality later this week. You can reach out to me on Twitter. That's the best spot. Send me a DM at the Joe Marino. Or you can shoot me an email, joe@thedraftnetwork.com. And we'll spend some time later this week responding to your questions about this list. And look, I had a lot of questions. I had at least one question for every single member of the panel. And I'm sure you have some questions as well that hopefully I can answer and really take this conversation to another level. All right, folks, that's going to do it for us here today on the podcast. We'd love it if you took a second to rate, review, share, and subscribe. Have a great rest of your day, and I look forward to catching up with you again tomorrow.